We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. All right, Matt. We start here in the very first, 3rd of August, first week of August. Man, we are very quickly approaching season start, which is a lot of fun. Man, I'm looking forward to it here, man, but I know you're pumped too.
Dude, yeah, very pumped. It feels like once we turn the calendar to August, like football season is imminent. It already probably felt that way once training camp started going. But man, yeah, it's going to be, I'm pretty jacked up about this football season, man, especially, you know, doing like my top 10 offenses show mm-hmm. recently over there for Football 301 over with Yahoo with Nate Tice. Like, I think there's just so many really, really interesting offenses this year and a ton of receivers that we're tracking and all of that. So yeah, man, I'm pretty jacked up about this football season overall.
We have some new things to announce on the site here, a redraft cheat sheet and dynasty rankings tool. Do you want to walk through the, these new features on the website?
100%. So yeah, every year for all subscribers, since we launched the site, I would put up my annual cheat sheet for just my redraft fantasy tiered rankings and everything. I've been doing them, you know, for years. Yep. I used to put the sheet out for free. And once we launched the site with, you know, people paying for the information, I was like, yeah, let's just put this on the website for the people. You know, a little extra incentive. It goes well beyond, honestly, what the whole premise of is with Reception, Perception, and the charting. It's just my typical fantasy rankings. But this year I thought, you know, it was past time for a little update on what was essentially just throwing the Google sheet onto the website and kind of saying, here you go. So this year gave them a full refresh. You can actually use them as a live draft tool. As well, you can on the website have a page up and be, you know, crossing off guys as they come off the board. You can mark guys that you've drafted on your team. They're also constantly updated, you know, pretty much. I'm going to take a look at those things daily. And really the coolest thing too is just number one, it looks way better. And also, for the boomers out there like myself, you can print these things off now much easier than you could. The last couple of years. So looks really good when you get the printable version. Again, super interactive. You can flip between my positional rankings and then my top 90 overall rankings. Just a much cleaner experience for people on the site. I think that will be a really good feature for folks. And again, this is available to all subscribers on the site. Also, the Dynasty rankings, which are available to Prime and above subscribers on the site. Obviously, we talked about this earlier this offseason. That tool got a full refresh and, you know, yep. It was really, again, super interactive, looks great. It shows you my rankings relative to the market. One of the things subscribers have asked for pretty consistently is, you know, can we see kind of what your most recent ranking update, like how much guys have moved? That has now been added to the tool as well. So you can see how far each time I log into the rankings, I drop Brandon Ayuk down the rankings. So that has been reflected now as well. And every time I update, those will be reflected in the column there.
Well, San Francisco seems to be the center of wide receiver news, whether it's Brandon Ayuk, whether it's Deebo Samuel, whether it's Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall is out now for the entirety, it's not officially the entire season, but most likely the entire season.
Yeah. Okay. It's over. Yeah. He's going to miss all year. They've already announced it. So it's happening.
So again, just talk to me about what kind of player that San Francisco is missing here with Ricky Pearsall. We got to talk about where does Mike Evans kind of fit in. By the way, Mike Evans is now dealing with an injury. They're going to take him out for the rest of training camp here. So I don't know, man. They go and sign Deebo Samuel. The team tries to convince you that this was not in relation to Ricky Pearsall. I'm not so sure. But it was one and done for Deebo in Washington. Now he finds himself back in San Francisco. I just feel like, again, we just have to do a whole reset here in San Francisco. What are the Niners looking at in their wide receiver room?
Yeah, the Ricky Pearsall injury is a huge bummer.
Huge.
It really sucks because essentially the way I've kind of read this from some of the doctors and people following the situation is that, look, like what happens is when you injure this PCL, you know, maybe 9 times out of 10, it can heal without surgery, but 9 times out of 10 is not 10 times out of 10. And obviously Ricky Pearsall's did not heal correctly. He was spotted running routes, you know, in videos and stuff in the offseason wearing brace or sleeve. You know, I know there was some discourse on, was it brace, was it sleeve? Either way, it signaled that there was something wrong, you know, kind of lingering with this injury. And I think even in some of those videos, he was moving a little bit laboriously. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. So just didn't feel right. He tweaks it, aggravates it, whatever, in like the first couple of days of training camp. And now essentially the team, which their doctors had said he should just try to heal and let it go. Obviously just didn't work out. He's going to miss the entire season, get surgery, and hopefully come back in 2027 when, by the way, he will be 27 years old in that season. Just really unfortunate. I had a subscriber ask me if Ricky Pearsall is going to become my next Rashad Bateman. All right. hurtful question.
I was just going to say that. That very stings hurtful. A little, dude.
Stings a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, this is what happens with these guys who, and by the way, like, you know, Rashad Bateman, I know he had a couple of things here and there in college, but he wasn't somebody that just dealt with injuries consistently in college. Ricky Pearsall missed 0 games due to injury in college.
Wow.
And he has just been unable, you know, obviously there was the gunshot wound, which nobody could have seen that coming. But
right.
Even beyond that, he's just had this PCL injury. He had a couple of things in his rookie season as well. And yeah, he might go down as a kind of what could have been story for sure. Just really is never able to truly get started in his career. So I do think that's possible, which really sucks. And yeah, now the Niners, he was going to play a really big role for this team, both from a production standpoint and honestly just like their most vertical receiver. I mean, this is now, it was already an old team. Now it's an old and slow team, essentially. Yeah, really like old. If their yep. three receiver set in week one is Mike Evans at X, Deebo Samuel at Z, and Christian Kirk at slot, that's old. Man, that's, I mean, old. That is an old trio. And not a lot of obviously Mike Evans can make explosive plays. Deebo Samuel can still make big plays as well. And we'll pray. James Coe, I spent my 35th birthday on Sunday finishing 2026 or 2025 no. Deebo Samuel charting.
Wow.
Got his profile up on the site for the subscribers. So
wow.
can't say I'm anything but dedicated to the game, married to the game here. Am I? So yeah, I mean, Deebo, dude, he fills the Z receiver role, which is what Ricky Pearsall was going to play, but
yeah,
they are not even remotely similar players. So I do want to unpack these guys further, of course, but the reality here, man, is just Dazon Stribling better be ready to rock. Like, he better be ready to contribute right away and play a really big role, because otherwise I think this receiver room without Ricky Pearsall is in quite a bit of trouble.
When we're taking a look at some of the Ricky Pearsall charting numbers, we're talking about somebody who was beating man at a high rate, 71.6% success rate versus man, 79% versus zone, which is still pretty decent, and then 77% success rate versus press. Look, Mike Evans is a good man beater too. I'm not sure where we're at with Christian Kirk. Deebo Samuel, probably one of the worst, if not the worst, man press beater for in terms of a starting level wide receiver in the NFL. So again, the Niners are losing a guy that's consistently beating man press coverage, and also a guy that, in my opinion, look, I don't think he's an every down X receiver, but I just think you're talking about a wide receiver that is so versatile, can move all around the line, inside, outside, flanker, X, slot. I think he's just that guy, and he's a movable chess piece for Kyle Shanahan, and now the Niners offense is losing that guy. I don't know, man. Again, it's hard to measure it just because, again, this is somebody that's been so banged up throughout his entire career. Shoot, I mean, even the hamstring injuries that were limiting him in training camp the season prior and throughout the year. It's just, man, it's just a bummer. I don't know how he comes back, Matt. I mean, it's been a long time since he's just, again, given, you know, that level of effort for that consistent and long of a time. It's just, for a young player like this, this is really tough.
I know. It really stinks for Pearsall, who has definitely been good when he's played, like when he's been healthy, which has just been very infrequent. I mean, you got to go like, well, this stretch of games and this stretch of games. And this, but that's kind of what it is, man. I mean, when you're like this off and on with injuries, it's going to be like that for a guy like this. But I think he was a really promising player. And yeah, we'll just see what happens. I have no idea. And then go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the way that the training staff has handled this, and given the long, lengthy history of injuries for the San Francisco 49ers, I'm not going to be the guy that's caping up for Brandon Ayuk.
I was wondering if you were going to go there.
Look, I'm not the guy that wants to be like, but Brandon Ayuk was right. I mean, it's obviously a situation that is, you know, not tenable. I just want to bring up the fact that Brandon Ayuk was trying to get training off-site, and that Christian McCaffrey also got, you know, rehab stuff off-site. I mean, I think he went out of the country, actually.
To Germany, I believe.
I'm just saying, like, again, I'm not trying to cape up for Brandon Ayuk, bro, but it's like, I don't get it, but I get it. You know what I'm saying? In regards to Ayuk, like, he wanted to get some rehab done offsite, and the Niners were like, no, you need to come back in. And Brandon Ayuk said, no, I don't want to do that. And I'm just saying, like, it's the same staff that said, hey, Ricky Pearsall will be fine. And then, again, as we're sitting here August 30, he's getting season-ending knee surgery. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, like I said, I'm not trying to cape up for Brandon Ayuk, but at the same time, I kind of sort of get it now, too, you know?
I'm going to leave that one for you. You can put your hand on that hot stove. I will just say, like, whether you subscribe to the San Francisco 49ers training staff as a disaster conspiracy theory or the electrical substation conspiracy theory, either way, whichever one it is, they're in midseason form right now, man. Because, the Niners are just dealing with a ton of injuries. You mentioned Mike Evans. I just saw today he has, a quad injury? And, you know, hopefully it's minor, nothing big deal, like quad strain. Kalen Black, rookie running back, is dealing with an injury. Jordan James is dealing
broken
with an
ribs.
Injury. Their other running back, Dazon Stribling, who I mentioned, like, needs to be ready to rock. He's dealt with a little bit of an injury in training camp. Friggin' Christian Kirk himself also dealing with it. Like, the electrical substation is in midseason form. If it's the electrical substation, it heard the doubters. Yeah. Maybe myself was one of them about, like, oh, come seriously. Come on. It was like, no.
Yeah. No, it's real.
Don't doubt me. I have no idea if it's real. I'm not really making a statement on that. I'm just saying, one way or another, the conspiracy theories are going to be live, because it's just injuries are aplenty right now for the San Francisco 49ers. And Mike Evans, it's just, here's the deal with Mike Evans, man. Okay. You know, shout out to Ryan Heath of Fantasy Points, who I believe is the one who said this, is that, like, whatever happens with Mike Evans this year, it will be extremely obvious in hindsight. And what he means by that, and I totally agree with this, I've written this as well, is that either what's going to happen with Mike Evans is he's either going to play, we'll ballpark it, 14 games. He's going to score double-digit touchdowns, and he's going to dominate from the X receiver position for the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Or he will play 5 total games this season. And what I mean by that is he's going to play 3, tweak the hamstring, is out for a long time, going to come back for 2 more games at the end of that second game. He's going to, his hamstring's going to fall off the freaking bone or whatever. Like, he's, I feel like there's no in between for Mike Evans. So, like, ranking him for this year has been really difficult. Projecting him for this year has been really difficult, because I don't think we saw major signs of decline with Mike Evans. Maybe a little bit, again, while he was playing, coming back from a hamstring injury this past season in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But still looked like he could be a good X receiver starter. And I obviously, missing time in training camp stinks for him, but he is a guy who could certainly probably just walk into week one and run the routes in this offense and be totally fine. It just, obviously, he's a critical point now. Like, they need him to stay healthy, or they need Dazon Stribling to really come through, because this team is also dealing with an injury to George Kittle, who, I know, I'm sure he's on all kinds of crazy peptides and whatever. And, like, but he says he's going to be back week one off of an Achilles injury from January. That's kind of crazy. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot going on with this Niners team right now, specifically on offense, which is the unit that they need to be the load bearing unit of the team.
Yes.
So I think
it's going to be a train wreck. Listen, it's going to be a train wreck, dude.
I mean, there's a lot of bottoming out there.
Let me just say this in regards to Mike Evans. Okay, so he has played 14 games in every single year except for two. In 2019, he played 13 games. 2025, he played eight. Right, so this is when you're talking about a guy who is, you know, whatever. He had a million years in a row where he was catching 1,000 receiving yards. Right, like the one year that he doesn't, last year in 2025, he played eight games. He was also 32. Now he's 33. So again, I don't know where he is going to be out health wise. Really, really difficult to predict. But that certainly is not a good look. That when you're talking about one of the true iron men of the NFL, he starts to break down at a year, at an age where most players start to break down. That's going to be tough, right? As you mentioned, George Kittle coming off the Achilles. You know, they've got depth pieces that are banged up. Christian Kirk is dealing with the calf. Ricky Pearsall now out for the season. This doesn't include the fact that CMC is now 30 years old, coming off of a season where he had more than 410 touches. Matt, I looked at this, and when you look at Christian McCaffrey coming off of more than 300 touches, okay, more than 300 touches, he in 2019 had 400 touches in 2019. Mm-hmm. The next season in 2020, he played three games. Right. In 2022, he had 329 touches. The next season, he played 16. But in that season, he also had 339. The next season after that, in 2024, he played four games. Yeah. Right. So this and he's 30. Just FYI, he's 30. A year that is very not good for running backs. If he ends up missing a lot of time this year, it's going to be an absolute train wreck for San Francisco, man. Yeah. It's going to be tough.
The stat that I had on McCaffrey, and it's one that I've referenced a lot. I actually referenced it to Christian McCaffrey in our conversation back in February, is that if you look at regular season and playoffs combined, since the year 2000, he has the fourth most opportunities in any season. So since 2000.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's tied with 480 opportunities. That is tied with Arian Foster back in 2012. Saquon Barkley, 494 in 2024, is kind of the only,
good Lord,
you know, modern-ish, like modern guy in the top 10. The other guys in the top 10 are like Larry Johnson, Edgerrin James, Amon Green, I believe, LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, Curtis Martin. Not a lot of modern guys here at this point. It's very unprecedented for a guy like this to come back and, yeah, even be in peak form the next season. And you could argue that the Niners rush game wasn't even that good last year.
It wasn't. It was terrible.
It wasn't that good last year, which, you know, some of that's offensive line. Well, they run in with that, like, kind of a weaker personnel group on offensive line. There's definitely a lot of bottoming out potential for the Niners. I would just...
How about Trent Williams being 38 years old, bro?
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good. I will say, just from a receiver standpoint.
Okay.
I do like DeJuan Stribling. You know, again, we have talked about him a lot on the show. People have talked about him a lot. And I just, again, want to reiterate that I think he's a really good fit for this offense. I thought he was obviously aggressively drafted at 33rd overall, but he was still a guy ranked as a day two player. We have, again, our most popular YouTube video of all time on the channel is the DeJuan Stribling is my favorite day two sleeper breakdown. So tons of views on that one. You guys can go pump some more views into it if you'd like to see a pre-draft look at Stribling prior to the draft capital being known. But, you know, when you look at his chart, it's one of those ones where there's a lot of red routes, but it doesn't really matter, because two of the routes he ran literally 1% of the time. Who cares if they're red? You know, it's like he ran two of those routes and one was successful. One wasn't, gets 50%. Doesn't really matter. The only two routes that he ran with like any significant volume that are downfield routes that were red was like nine routes, which was 55.8%, is a little bit below average. He ran those a ton. Out routes does need to get better, I think, working towards the boundary. But if we're talking about the routes he's going to run a lot in this offense, digs and slants, really good success rates there. Ran those at decent volume as well. I thought also showed some promising ability to drop his weight and sink his hips on curl routes against man coverage. overall, like his man and press coverage scores were pretty solid. Mm-hmm. I think he's somebody that, you know, again, it depends on what Deebo Samuel can give you. And Deebo, we'll talk about him in a second. But yep. Deebo, you know, and I don't think he can be like a every down player for you in the year 2026, even if he did, I would say was fine in Washington last year. But you got to hope that Stribling is ready to kind of be your Z receiver and kick into the slot. And I think there are some promising metrics for him from a route running standpoint. And there's no question that he was really good with the ball in the air and really good after the catch. So
right.
I would say from a fantasy football standpoint, Stribling is draftable in all formats right now. And I think he really needs to kind of be on the radar. And for this team, unfortunately, you know, he is a rookie receiver that may have been aggressively drafted coming from an Ole Miss offense that hasn't produced a ton of immediate contributors in the NFL.
Yeah.
They need him to be an immediate contributor this year, period.
Yeah, no question. Just to kind of sort of piggyback off of what Matt was saying about his Stribling's fit in this San Francisco offense, 83% success rate collegiately as a prospect running the dig route, which is really good. 80%, nearly 81% success rate running the slant route, which again is pretty good. And then 76% success rate running that curl. So these are three in-breaking routes. And I would especially say the dig and slant, really important for a Shanahan offense. And he ran the dig quite a bit, like 15% route participation on that dig route. So again, that's not a small sample size. I am with you, Matt. I think he fits into this offense. Just looking at the route chart, I think he fits into this offense really well. Can he kind of sort of be the new Ricky Pearsall playing that, you know, off-ball slot guy, man? I think he can. I think he'll be that dude. He's not as complete of a route runner as Ricky Pearsall. But, you know, if we're going to try to put him into a role, I could see him, you know, fitting into that role for San Francisco pretty good.
I think he probably needs to play more of like Juwan Jennings' old role. And Jennings has been tough to pin down because he has, you know, playing through injuries and also with injuries in the room, he's been a little bit more, you know, he's kind of had to play more X receiver at times than he probably should. Right. But, you know, because he's just not the most explosive player in a straight line. But if you look at like Jennings' route chart from 2024, mm-hmm. it is a lot of dig routes, but there's a lot of outbreakers here too. And that's the thing where I think Stribling is really good at right now going over the middle of the field, but he does have to create some of those explosive plays on outcuts, which unfortunately I think was definitely going to be Ricky Pearsall's role in this offense. And Mike Evans obviously can do that from the X receiver position. You wonder if Stribling, who did play a lot of outside on ball as a collegiate player, could he play some X and allow them to move Mike Evans around, who definitely has not just been a stationary X at times in his career. He's taken some snaps from the slot. That sure. really is going to matter here. But ultimately this does bring us back to Deebo Samuel, who, you know, credit to Deebo Samuel, looks like he showed up in really good shape. You know, has said it was only a matter of time. Yeah, he was going to return to San Francisco, has said that he is, according to John Lynch, totally down to like return kicks for this team and everything like that. So that's awesome to see. And again, I will give Deebo credit that his numbers in 2024 with San Francisco okay. were a complete disaster in his final year with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
His success rates in Washington were improved. They're still obviously a good bit off of like where he was from his absolute peak with the San Francisco 49ers. As you mentioned earlier, not a guy who can beat man coverage. Seventh percentile success rate versus man coverage last year. That's it's kind of close to where he finished in 2022. The problem is just that his success rate versus zone is still totally respectable. But we're talking about a guy who was like consistently over the 90th percentile. Now he's like 53rd percentile success rate versus zone. And obviously, when you look at his route success rate chart, really, you know, kind of constricted to the short area in breaking routes. Once again, another guy that's not going to help you on some of these big outcuts at this point, which that was supposed to be what Pearsall was going to do. So not a guy who can win vertically, mostly just kind of who he was with his, he's just kind of the same guy that he was at his peak, which is not a real man beater, but better against zone coverage and primarily wins on in breaking routes and quick out routes like flat route. 88% success rate this past year. Now he's just kind of like a more exaggerated version of that exact same player and a more diminished version of that. So now you just kind of think about how he fits into this room with all these other guys. there is just a real lack of, I think, verticality unless Mike Evans can be not only 100% healthy, but like just the 2024 version of Mike Evans when he played close to a full season ish, yeah. sort of, not really, but was like more at the height of his powers and not playing through injuries.
It's crazy how quickly Deebo Samuel's like life cycle as a player has gone, right? Like he's only entering into year number 8. In 2021, yeah. he had 1,400 receiving yards, and then ever since then, he has not cracked 900 receiving yards. And again, I talk about the life cycle of Deebo Samuel, which is really interesting. It's like I said, I mean, I think early in his career, he was, you know, a phenomenal athlete, really great after the catch, just somebody that was scary with the ball in his hands and can do a couple of different things. But he peaked out in 2021 with 1,400 receiving yards. And look, I get it. Like, you know, he's somebody that's going to get some snaps out of the backfield too. But then he became less effective. And then last year in Washington, I don't know, man, like, I know he was better maybe than he was in 2024, but I still don't think he looked very good at all. He looked slower. And so again, it's surprising to me how quickly Deebo Samuel's career kind of sort of went, you know, it was like this, like, it's not that he was a flash in the pan. It just, everything happened as like a giant explosion. You know, he yeah. came out the gates quickly, peaked out and then flamed out just as quickly. You know, like I said, he's only entering year number 8 of his career, dude. That's crazy to me.
Well, it's almost like taking a bunch of snaps at running back and taking running back touches. Yeah,
right.
And even when you aren't playing running back, you know, you're in this hyper specific, you know, get the ball in your hands and break tackles after the catch on in-breaking routes, you know, it's almost like that makes you decline a little faster and pick up yeah. a lot of injuries. So,
yeah.
I think that's just the unfortunate. That's why I've said with like, you know, Rashee Rice is a comparable player. And Deebo is kind of like one of one in a lot yeah. of ways. Really one of the most fun players to talk about of the reception perception era because he's so unique. But I do think Rice is like the closest comparable player to this. And Rice has been dealing with a lot of injuries over the course of his you know, his short NFL career. So it happens with this archetype player.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you and I have talked about this, but I just don't think it gets emphasized enough. You know what I mean? Like the guys who are underneath taking a lot of hits, it's, you know, it's yeah. it's very running back adjacent. You know what I'm saying? So
totally.
How their games age, I don't think people have like dived into that enough in regards to some of these wide receivers. Okay, we move on. Jalen Polk retired. Jalen Polk, that shocked me, man. I mean, this is such a young player and quite frankly was a pretty well-regarded prospect coming out of Washington. I was floored that he retired now. And again, this is a player that I thought was going to get some playing time in New Orleans and he just up and said, nope, I'm good. Peace.
Yeah, I hope everything is okay with Jalen Polk, you know, because now, it was not too long ago, you know, reporters out of New Orleans were talking about how motivated he was to like really how appreciative he was that the Saints took a flyer on him and took a chance on him and how much he was really looking forward to kind of paying off that investment and that faith. And that was just like a month or two ago, essentially, that he was talking like that. And now he's just decided he doesn't want to play anymore. We'll see. Maybe we hear from him again. But yeah, it stinks about Polk and, you know, definitely goes down as a really big prospect miss for me, even though I do think he was not set up to succeed with the kind of vertical X receiver role that the, you know, 2024 Patriots coaching staff, which could take umbrage with how they were doing things. Right. I don't think they really set him up to succeed by putting him in that kind of vertical X receiver role when he was mostly like a big Z receiver who could kick into the slot, more of a zone beater than a man beater in his collegiate prospect charting. So yeah, unfortunate for Jalen Polk that I think he just got off to a really bad start and, you know, from a usage standpoint, but also the two things that he was really good at as a prospect, even if you didn't like him as a route runner or as a separator, was he basically caught everything. And he was a great blocker. And in the first season of his career, couldn't catch, like, was dropping passes left and right, a disaster in contested catch situations, and his blocking really left a lot to be desired too. And just, I don't know, there, it was always something weird with Polk in New England. So again, I hope everything is okay with Jalen Polk, but yeah, he is not going to be part of this Saints team this year, which luckily for New Orleans, while I did appreciate the Jalen Polk, Tyler Shuck fishing buddy narrative, it's unfortunate I can't reference that anymore. But they've actually a good bit of depth at wide receiver. Obviously, Chris Olave, coming off the best season of his career, got himself a big deserved contract extension.
Yep.
He was great last year. His profile went live on the site this morning, so people can check that out. Jordan Tyson, I think, really complements Chris Olave well. As long as both those guys can stay healthy, that will be good. And Devon Vele as a third receiver, who is a big guy and can play in the slot, I think that like is a pretty nice three receiver set for Tyler Shuck on a team that played a ton of the third most snaps out of three plus receiver sets. And they took Bryce Lance on day three of the draft, who I kind of like as a vertical X developmental type player. So I think the Saints have some depth to, you know, be okay without Jalen Polk, who, you know, who knows if he was even going to be, you know, a big factor for them this year. But regardless, I hope everything is okay with Jalen Polk.
Jalen Polk, a former second round pick by the New England Patriots, will finish his career with 33 targets, 12 receptions, 87 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Man.
A second round pick. Holy moly.
Second round pick. They also took Javon Baker that year too, who's currently not on the roster either.
I don't know if he's in the NFL either.
I think he might be on, like, he was on like the Eagles roster for half a second. He might still be on the Eagles roster as Javon Baker. Okay. But anyways, they also took you might be right. I don't know if he is on any roster currently is Javon Baker. He was on the 49ers most recently, so
yep.
I don't know. Their third round pick from this past year, Kyle Williams, also not looking like he's going to play a big role this year. So New England, it's just like, hey, if you like if you like a receiver prospect and they get taken by the Patriots, maybe don't too strong that take. That's why they're like, you know what, we're trading for AJ Brown, we're getting Romeo Doubs in the building. I mean, the best guy that they've drafted has been Kayshon Booty, you know, who was like a day three draft pick at this point. So that's probably the best receiver they've drafted in recent seasons.
Yeah, I was looking this up. I don't know if Javon Baker's on a squad right now, man. Like, nope, he was on San Francisco's. Yeah. Oh man, I don't know, dude. Brutal. That's tough. That is crazy.
I liked Baker too. Stuff. So yeah, listen. Same. I'm gonna get stuff wrong, guys. And I got those two. I definitely got those two those two players wrong. Baker was also like he was very much a developmental player. He goes he went in the fourth round. Some off field stuff, honestly, clearly with both of these guys going on. So that's always a big part of the equation. But yeah, it will always be unfortunate, I think, for Jalen Polk that like I said, it was a little bit of a setup to fail with the role early on in New England. And just, you know, didn't do himself any favors though. Like that's the thing. Sometimes like, oh man, they really could be role catering to this guy, but maybe catch the football when it comes your way and you know, block and all that stuff. And probably don't, you know, be posting like shade towards the team on Instagram either, which there was a little bit of that too.
Yeah, there was. Okay. In Green Bay, the big news was that Jordan Love said that Matthew Golden was going to basically take over Romeo Doubs' spot. And again, Matthew Golden. So what that means is, if you're not familiar, is that Matthew Golden will play primarily in the X receiver spot here for Green Bay. Wanted to get your thoughts here because I'll tell you what, my initial reaction was that's not good for Matthew Golden. And I'm not sure that's good for Green Bay either, but wanted to get your thoughts on Jordan Love kind of sort of hinting at Matthew Golden playing primarily in the X.
Yeah, funny enough too that when Matt LaFleur was asked about this, Jordan Love said MG locked into the X. When Matt LaFleur was asked about this, he said, I didn't know that. That's not that big of a deal. The way we move guys around, we have different ways to manipulate the formations. That's funny. which I thought was pretty funny. And like, by the way, that is kind of what I would imagine, you know. These guys are all going to move around a little bit. It's not like Romeo Doubs only played X, right? It's not like Christian Watson only played Z. But I did think this was a pretty big piece of news for Christian Watson, because I have been kind of sitting here thinking, like, Watson, I hope he doesn't get locked into that X receiver position, because while he is clearly a really good player and was good last season, had the best season of his career, without a doubt, last season, he still isn't, 35th percentile success rate versus man. He is better against zone. I think he's really good when you can get him on the move and some of those big breaking routes, which obviously get him on the move. You need him to not be stationary on the ball. I've mentioned this too, that there's some correlation causation kind of noise in this, but shout out to Jacob Gibbs of Beyond the Box Score. He's the one who turned me on to this stat, but I went and looked into it further. Watson was targeted on 25% of his routes with Romeo Doubs on the field last year, 17% without Romeo Doubs on the field. Again, correlation causation sort of thing here, but okay. I think that obviously is Doubs was the primary X, and when he's on the field, you can not use Christian Watson as the X receiver. And I think that's good. I thought this was really good to hear for Christian Watson. As it relates to Matthew Golden, I've said this a lot, based on his rookie season charting profile combined with kind of a charting profile as a prospect, where I kind of found myself to be like a little bit of a centrist on Matthew Golden. I had him wide receiver 5 in that class, behind obviously Travis Hunter is a little bit of a wild card, Tetero McMillan, Emeka Ibuka, and Luther Burden. I liked him. I didn't love him. I just didn't really come away from his rookie season with a strong take, essentially.
Okay.
And not like clear, okay, this is where I think he really fits in or whatever. I could kind of see his career going either way. But the stuff that he did do well was running downfield routes, and he actually had a pretty solid success rate versus press coverage. I think he could essentially be, and I've also said this several times on this show and others, I do think the sacrificial X receiver designation has a little bit jumped the shark, when I see some other people use it. However, Romeo Doubs, remember, was like the original guy that got me to even come up with the term sacrificial X, because he would run vertical routes as the outside on-ball guy while you did all the fun move-around stuff with Christian Watson and Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, could Matthew Golden be kind of the vertical guy as the outside on-ball receiver while Christian Watson and Jaden Reed do all the fun move-around slot Z receiver stuff? I do think that makes sense to me.
What do you think about for Matthew Golden in particular? Like, if he is locked in into this X receiver role, is that a good role for him?
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
I kind of go back and forth on this, and it comes back to sort of my original thought, which is what I said was, like, I don't really have a strong take on Golden coming into year two. I think he showed enough to kind of leave the light on for him, but didn't show so much, especially based on just his overall success rates and everything, didn't show so much where I'm like, I can't believe they didn't get this guy the football more. Like, he looks so great in isolation. I think he's one of those guys that will show up in like separation metrics when you're talking about when you measure it. I actually had a conversation about this with the guys over at Fantasy Points. I was on one of their shows on Friday, because he shows up really good in their average separation score. And this is where you get into like really nerdy, how do you chart this stuff details. But Brett Whitefield, who is one of their top analysts, he was talking about like, yeah, he, despite that, he doesn't think Matthew Golden is very good, because while he does create separation in some of these like fancy twitchier moves, it's not always at the right timing. It's not always at the right depth, which I think is why there's the difference between the separation and then like how often I'm charting him as like, oh, he's open here, because, and that's sort of the differences. And we're talking about like the timing and details of it within the actual concept and the flow of the plays and being in the right place at the right time. That was something that definitely was an issue for Golden in year one. Now, could that be corrected in year two? I think it's just tough with Matthew Golden, because he had this kind of weird prospect profile where there were some good marks, there were some negative marks, but he did show really well on vertical routes and did, I thought he was a good contested catch receiver as a prospect. Not like a ball winner like Romeo Doubs, but could win, you know, with strong timing and technique at the catch point. So I could kind of see him being a useful X receiver for this team, especially because I like it when we just say, hey, what does our best player do?
Yeah.
Which is right now, I would say coming off of last year, at times I thought Jaden Reed has been better than Christian Watson, but coming off last year, you'd have to say it was Watson. What does he do the best? Let's make sure we don't diminish his role. So I'm willing to kind of say, like, let's have Matthew Golden take this role. I think he could end up being a little bit, you know, sacrificial at times, but it's good for the entire offense. Like if you were to give me, if you were to ask me this way, I think Golden probably projects as the fourth most targeted player on the team, even if he plays more snaps than Jaden Reed. I think Reed is a better player than Matthew Golden. I think Tucker Kraft is a better player than Matthew Golden. I think Christian Watson is a better player than Matthew Golden. That doesn't mean I think Matthew Golden stinks, but just what I've seen on these guys so far, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's where I was surprised by if they were going to put Matthew Golden, you know, and again, I'm talking like Romeo Doubs level where Doubs is playing, you know, 85% outside, 15% in the slot. And most of his outside work is, again, as an X receiver, right? So, and you had charted him and talked about how this guy was just running as an outside X for so much of his tenure there in Green Bay. And then again, I just think like Christian Watson is somebody who played outside, inside, 65% outside, 35% inside. Look, I do think, Matt, that I think they were trying to find ways to get Matthew Golden on the football field, and they put him in the slot quite a bit. 45% of his snaps, according to Next Gen Stats, came while lined up as an inside wide receiver. And Matt, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think he was comfortable there. He didn't play that role at Texas, and I don't think he liked it. And I actually, if memory serves, I even think he talked about how he hadn't played as an inside wide receiver in quite a while. So again, I didn't like that role for him in Green Bay. That being said, it seems like to me the ideal spot for Matthew Golden would be that flanker spot. And I tell you what, man, like if he's getting this Romeo Doubs treatment as an X, I definitely don't like that for him either. So I don't know, man, like it's just, it feels like they've got three pretty good wide receivers in Green Bay, Matthew Golden, Christian Watson, and Jaden Reed. But who's the guy that can legitimately give you a lot of X receiver reps? That is also where I struggle to kind of sort of see a natural fit among those three guys too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I also think it was a really good point by you about the Matthew Golden slot receiver stuff, because I don't think he was actually originally supposed to play a lot of slot receiver for this team. That's obviously supposed to be Jaden Reed's role, but Reed came in with the broken foot and then he tried to play through the foot fracture, and then he broke his collarbone in week two, and then basically like that was a lost season for Jaden Reed essentially. And I don't think, Matt, I think if you're being fair to Matthew Golden for kind of having this, what I said is a could go either way rookie season, he just didn't have like one role locked into it, set it and forget it, let's go. Instead, it was kind of bouncing between stuff. So I think having some clarity for Golden, like this is what you're going to do this year, probably could be good for him, especially because I don't think he fit the slot receiver role at all either. 23rd percentile success rate versus zone as a rookie, and really not good on some of these kind of like slant routes, curl routes, just okay. Even like dig routes, which he ran a ton of, 21% of his sample routes were dig routes, 68% success rate below average. But the routes that he was good on, nine post out, that's kind of the X receiver route tree, right? I mean, like I think that he makes much more sense there. And again, I'm with Matt LaFleur here that it's somebody's not going to play X receiver on every single snap. I mean, if you go back to Doubs's rookie year in 2022, when they were certainly playing more 11 personnel, he was 75% outside, 61% on the line of scrimmage. I think that's fine. He probably will just take the most snaps on ball of the top three receivers here. Sure. But won't be an exclusive X, because you do want to get Christian Watson some explosive plays from the X receiver spot. Ultimately, I think these guys are, you know, kind of a wider. I don't think they. I like Christian Watson. I like Jaden Reed, but I wouldn't say they have like a true like funnel 130 targets to this guy, set it and forget it. you know, type of receiver. I think it's almost a little bit of a room by a collective, essentially. And, you know, when you look at just the overall in 2023, this wide receiver room, and again, it's always tough because of injuries, right? But,
yeah,
you know, Romeo Doubs played the most snaps. He played 807 snaps that year. He ran 507 routes, which was the most in the wide receiver room. But he was targeted on 19% of his routes. Meanwhile, Jaden Reed was 24%. Dontavian Wicks was 20.4%. Christian Watson was 20%. And I kind of think that's the way it's going to go for Matthew Golden, at least this year.
Yeah.
Where he is, he might even end up playing the most snaps, but his plays will come from, you know, down, like the downfield explosive stuff. And they'll hope that those nines, the posts, the outs, the corner routes, that's where he makes his hay. And by the way, Jordan Love can access those throws. And I also think there's a chance that this Packers team is just one playing out of 11 personnel more, because I think their best 11 features these three receivers, not their second tight end, and are kind of forced into it because I think their defense is going to take a step back this year. I think the running game might not be as potent as it was previously.
No, it's not. Yeah, the run game is going to be bad.
I think there's a chance that this team is just throwing the football more than we're used to seeing, and all these guys get a lot of opportunities this year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where Michael Parsons is at to kind of sort of feed into that theory too, right? Like, if he's not there, then
he's not playing week one. He's already said he might miss the first like month and a half of the season.
Well, there you go. There you go. By the way, this is week one, they play the Vikings, and the Vikings are obviously going to get after it, right? So like, if Matthew Golden connects on like a random 70-yard bomb downfield, catch and run downfield, like, I'm not going to overreact, okay? I'm not going to overreact. I'm just letting everyone know. I'm not going to overreact to Matthew Golden lining up as an X and catching a 70-yard bomb downfield against a highly blitzing Vikings defense, okay? Just letting people know. Just letting people know. Although,
can I also share real quick? This is one team where it's almost certainly not going to happen. But I've been kind of like clamoring for one team to just try this with their wide receiver room, where, like, I get it. Jaden Reed is better as a slot. And he's barely run any. He's like run almost no routes in his career out of, you know, heavy personnel. I get it. Two receiver sets, the whole deal. He's run like probably sub 20 routes in his entire career out of two receiver sets. I get it. However,
yeah,
if there was one team that I think could pull off the in 12 personnel, Watson is our X and Reed is our Z. And then in 11 personnel, we bring on basically a designated hitter as the X receiver, this is that team. I think they could do it.
Yes.
They won't do it, but I just want to say, I just want to get it on the record in case it does happen, that I think this is a team that could do it.
Like, I agree with you.
I totally agree. That's what I would do, but I'm not in charge and it probably will not happen. But I just want it on the record that I have been just as like a football experiment, like an idea, a concept. I've been wanting to see one team do this. I used to think the Colts could be that team, but Alec Pierce just got so much better that it's like you need him on the field all the time, especially in the kind of offense they're running last year. But I've wanted to see one team do it. Basically, nobody does it. This is a team I think could do it, but we'll see how Matthew Golden performs in training camp.
Bro, it's got a great name, the X receiver DH.
The DHX?
The XDH. XDH is good. The XDH. Well,
I'm not walking back Sacrificial X. Sacrificial X is a great term, and I stand by the theory. I just think it's kind of jumped the shark, where people assume like anyone lining up at X receiver is bad. Not all X is sacrificial.
Where did that come from? Like, it used to be like you, the X receiver, if you lined up at X, like you were the top dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, and now it's like, oh no, he's going to play in the X. You know, it's so different. I'm like,
I
don't get it.
Everything, nothing is, only a Sith deals in absolutes, okay? Nothing should be applied with a blanket rule, okay? Like, that's how this is. Essentially, what's not all X's are sacrificial. And not all sacrificial receivers are X's either, by the
sure.
way.
Sure.
Uh-huh. I just watched the Davante Adams, his profile's up on the site today. And do you know Davante Adams, while playing, basically just played X receiver. 87% snaps outside, 82% snaps On the ball. He ran a nine route on 9.4% of his charted routes. He ran a post That's route wild. On 5.4% of his charted routes. Ran a corner route on 5.8% of his charted routes.
What the hell
was
he running, digs?
Yeah, he's running digs and slants, 22%. Yeah, okay. And obviously he was this, talking about a designated hitter, he was the ultimate designated hitter last year, especially when they got around the goal line. You know, so of course, like, he's running a lot of slants in those situations and in critical down and distance. But yeah, he's running these like big in-breaking routes, but ran a lot of out cuts as well. And by the way, this is also makes me like, man, if you know, remember Mike LaFleur said that, oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to play in the Davante Adams role. This is what I'm saying. People think like, oh, he's going to play in the X, it's a sacrificial player. In the Rams offense, the sacrificial player is like the bit guys, you know, the Tutu Atwells, the your insert third receiver, Terrence Ferguson, the tight end is like their sacrificial player. Right. I just think that's essentially my pushback to my own theory here is just like, we can't apply it with a blanket rule. Yes. So a lot of times when your two best pass catchers are your Z and your slot, your X is going to be a little, he's going to be sacrificial because somebody's got to line up outside on ball and take the top off, but that's not always the case. And it's like sacks, right? When we jump the shark with that, where it's like, all sacks are a quarterback stat because people weren't assigning it to quarterbacks ever. But it's like, no, sacks are a quarterback stat sometimes, maybe mostly, but not always.
I love it. Okay, there you go. Anyways, go check it out, receptionperception.com. I will leave the folks with this. The quarterback data will be dropping really, really soon. Maybe even by the time you listen to this podcast, quarterback data will be on the site. There's brand new wide receiver data on the site. I'm still working my way through running back profiles here as well, but the Bashel Tootin profile will be on the site very, very soon. I know there's a lot of question marks in terms of that Jacksonville backfield. And let me just say this, that I'll just give a little preview, preview. Bashel Tootin outperformed Travis Etienne in a wide number of metrics, despite having a worse yards per carry average. Down by down, Bashel Tootin, in a much smaller sample size, was more consistent than Travis Etienne. My takeaway is that Tootin has all the opportunity in the world to absolutely take off in this offense. So I am very bullish on Bashel Tootin. That profile will be on the site, should be by week's end. So we'll see. But yes, the profiles for quarterbacks and running backs will be updated regularly here, especially as we close out August, as we get closer and closer to week number one. Anyways, go check it out, receptionperception.com. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We got to go, but remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. All right, peace.